Okay, we come towards the end of Siman Pei Dalet, Siftes Vav. And Siftes Vav is something of an anomaly, and the Siftes Zayin is something very negeh al halacha. Siftes Vav refers, get this, to mine eifais hagedilim bi'ilon, types of birds that grow on trees. Anybody know a bird that grows on trees? A bat. Mine eifais hagedilim bi'ilon, b'tluyam bi'ilon b'chatumeyem, and they hang from the tree by their beaks. Asurim mishum sheretz asheris al oretz. Their osir, what? Okay. Well, sparrows grow from mommy sparrows. They don't grow on trees. Only money grows on trees, right? So what this sif is about is to try to give some definition between to find what's a bird and what's a sheretz. At what point is a fly a fly and not a bird? The Torah says only these birds are us. All other birds are mutter. So does that make a mosquito mutter to eat? No. So it seems to be giving some type of criteria that if it grows on a tree, or the way we define all insects, they grow either on the peris or on the karka, right, wherever they spawn, it's considered that they grow there. So whatever this is referring to, very unclear. The Shulchan Aruch says they have a din sheretz. The Shachim Mem Aleph brings a mashal. That they have a din oif. So it seems that this machlokes how to define a bird as opposed to a flying insect, and it's a machlaikis, the Shulchan Aruch and the Mashal had a paskin in the machlaikis Rishayim. I'm not aware of any nafkamina la halacha regarding Sif Tezvav. May someday come up, but for now we're going to move on to Sif Tezayin, which has to do with a new category of Teloim, and it is very nagei la halacha. Sif Tezayin is something new. We had Shrotzim. We had shrotzim, the beginning of Siman shrotzim that grow in water. And then we had shrotzim that are in produce. And as I said, when we started the perek, we started the simin, rather, this simin is heterim, it's not isurim. To say all bugs are osur is not really true. We had that insects that grow, that spawn in sitting water are mutter. You're allowed to eat the insects in the water. We had insects that grow in peiris after they detach from the ground, amutter, because there were never sheretz ala oretz. The sheretz that's created, that sort of grows in a peiri after it's detached. When it's connected to the ground, that's considered sheretz ala oretz. But those insects that become insects after they're detached from the ground, and they're in a pre, I mentioned to you the cashew worm as a possible candidate for this hatter, they're mutter, they're not even issa b'chlal, because they were never sheretz al ha'aretz. We have now a new sugya. This is the sugya of shrotzim that are found in meat or fish. Now, here it is. Okay. The shrotzim that are found in meat and fish, there's a very clear sugya sagamara, which the Mechaber here brings. I have to point out that we are not aware of any issue of shrotzim in meat today. So it hasn't come up. It came up about 11 or 12 years ago when the shiloh about the worms in the fish was an issue, which we're going to discuss. And the interesting thing here is that the Gemara is clear. The Gemara, the way we read the Gemara, Rashi and Taisus, and the Mechaber is really absolutely clear. The last line of Mechabel have a Yesh Mishayim or Rambam Shita, which is a Das Yachid. But the Shulchan Aruch itself and the Gemara seems to be absolutely clear on the Gedarim of worms that are found in fish. The Hagdama is that there are two topics. It's very tricky. One topic is the Isser of Teloim, which we're going to discuss. There's another topic, if you'll understand that the Teloim are generated on the living creature. The Gemara deals with the fact that they may have a din of Eiver Menachai. In other words, if you're going to understand, we'll talk about spontaneous generation. Let's say you would understand spontaneous generation by its simple meaning, that the meat of the animal somehow turns into a worm, then that should be Eiver Menachai. There's a very big difference in the rules of Eiver Menachai. Eiver Menachai in a behemoth is awesome. By fish, there's no isser of Eiver Menachai. There's no halacha that Eiver Menachai is awesome. It's the same as the chai. If the fish is mutter, then the Eiver from the fish is mutter. The fish is treif, then the Eiver from the fish is treif. There's no din Eiver Menachai on fish. Which means to say that we're dealing here with two sugyas. The sugya of teilam, of worms, and the sugya of Eiver Menachai. Now, worms are found primarily in two locations in a fish or an animal. And this is from the Gemara Ad Hayoy. There are worms that are found in the stomach of a fish or the stomach of an animal. We're going to talk about fish because it doesn't come up much with animals. But with fish, there are definitely worms in the stomach of a fish. Those worms in the stomach of a fish, the Gemara says are aser, because the fish ate something that had worms in it. It didn't spawn from the fish. It's not created from the fish. It's what the fish ate. And therefore, the Gemara says, and Shulchan Aruch will say shortly, that teloim that are found in the stomach of a fish are definitely awesome. When this tumma started about 15 years ago, I went to a fish store and I bought two whole white fish with the stomach still there. When you go to a bris and you have a white fish, the stomach cavity is cleaned out. You don't see any organs. You just see the fish. Because that cavity has in it, in that small place, it's got everything. It's got a heart, a lung, it's able to eat and reproduce and excrete everything, a miraculous little machinery that's inside. And when they, in the fish store, they got the fish by slitting the length of the stomach and pulling it out, and the stomach gets removed. Now, the question of how common worms are there on the Geya as follows. If you slit a fish the way all the kosher stores do, which is to slice it and pull it out, so all the worms in the intestines of the fish are removed. They're all pulled out, and there's no problem with there's no problem at all. However, if someone were to take a whole fish and put it on a cutting board, and when you put it on the cutting board, just slice it into pieces. In other words, not to slit it and clean it out, just take a hakmesser, slice a bunch of pieces. Now you have all the guts all there, that's okay, you're going to wash it anyway. And you throw it into water and you wash it. Then there is a problem. The problem is that when you slice the fish, it's common that the stomach is full of worms, and when you slice it, it's like bursting a balloon. You know, it splatters all over the place. And then just washing it doesn't necessarily help. The worms are alive, and they attach themselves to the meat of the fish, and it's very difficult to take it out. So, what? It was Sheretz Alamayim, right? Before the fish ate it, presumably it was Sheretz Alamayim, and therefore it's also to Sheretz Alamayim. So what's swallowed in the stomach of the fish is not the tumul. There's no question that that's aser. Nobody disagrees with it. What was discovered by Adelsky cutting up the stomachs is that it depends when you catch the fish. If the fish just excreted its the contents of the stomach, then the stomach is empty, and then you're not going to get worms splattering all over. If it's a full stomach, so to speak, or full intestines, then you're going to get a lot of worms. So it really depends on the fish when the fish is caught and cut open. Nafkamina is to make it a suffix. What?
The fish is alive,
so that's we're going to discuss that. I want to go beseder. So worms in the stomach are definitely a kashrus issue. Nobody argues about it. The Gemara says so, and the Shulchan Aruch says so, and all the places can agree. Worms in the stomach are an issue. They're ingested by the fish. They were sheretz b'mayim. They swam in the water, and they're osir, and you swallow it, and so those shrotzim should be osir l'kuli alma. And that's why the pieces of fish that are they're like horseshoe when they slice it. What type of fish is it that comes in the horseshoe?
Salmon.
That's salmon. So the salmon that comes this way always has a slit. For a short period of time, there was some type of gourmet stuff that it was still closed and just have a hole in it, which is they cut it up that way. And then the kashrus organizations became aware that that creates problems. And I don't think it's done that way anymore. And the fish, when you get a piece of fish, it should be the horseshoe-shaped piece of fish. The bottom of the horseshoe should not be coming together. Because when you slit the stomach, you open that up. And that's the way that is no shaila, there's no tumul. The tumul is all about worms found in the meat of the fish. And we're going to learn what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And the interesting shailas lahalacha that came up. The good thing about a tumul is that if it's halacha tumul as opposed to political tumul, is that you have a lot of bureau of halacha that's written. They wrote a couple of kutrasin on it. Rabbi Falk in England at the time wrote what he called the Madrich L'Tayloim, which is a fair enough name. Eretz Yisrael, they're much more imaginative when they write their kuntrasin. So I think the first kuntras that came out was something like Telas Ani, something like that, Telas Ani. And the second one was even better. It had some play on words, Nira Le'enai, which Pasha means this is what I think, but Nira Le'enai, the question was how big the bug is. So they have, in Eretz Yisrael, they have a much better imagination. We'll discuss all this. Okay? Now, I want to learn what it says here in Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll get to the halacha. The Shulchan Aruch is really clear, except for the Rambam Shita at the end, which we have a chance we will talk about. Kol Teloim in Insan B'Behema. If you find Teloim, worms, in an animal, Bein Shein, Bein Or LeBasar, whether they're between the hide and the meat, Bein Shein B'Meyeha, or in the stomach, Asurim. In an animal, everything's aser. In the stomach, it's aser because it ate it and consumed it, and it was a telas before. In the basar, even if you hold that somehow it was spontaneously generated, it's still eva menachai, and it's aser. But in some bidogim, what about what you find in a fish? Bibi ayam, asurim. If you find it in the stomach, it's aser. Bein arla basar, ibisecha basar mutarim. Nobody argues here. It says very clearly, psak halacha, that if you find worms in the meat, in the flesh of a fish, it's mutter. And the Ramah is, afilu pirshu k'tzas v'chazru mutarim. Even if the worms climbed in and out a little bit, I don't know how much is a little bit, but they're mutter, ki kein revisayu l'fresh k'tzas v'lazar. As opposed to the worms in produce, which tend to run away from the produce, these tend to go back into the fish, and therefore they remain, those that are mutter remain mutter. Vodasrinan, that which we aser, the worms in the animal, in the flesh of an animal, dafka mechayim, dafka eva melachay, that when an animal is alive, they spawn. Aval agedilim bebasar acher shechita, those that grow in the meat after shechita, so that's not eva melachay. Oy bidogim ugvina, or those that come in the fish after the fish are caught, ugvina or in cheese mutarim kozma shle pirshu. They're like things, bugs that grow in a fruit. They were never sheretz al ha'aretz. They were never sheretz al ha'mayim. And therefore, like I told you, this simon is about heterim. Mutarim ledas ha'mativin. If it's mutar in the first place, it's mutar here. V'shapirish meis. V'chashim en shem epishu mechayim. Now, if the worm crawls off the animal, mechayim, it would be also be sheretz al ha'aretz. But stam is they were not chayshish. They were sheretz mechayim. Chutzuchatichim. The stam is in shapirish mechayim. Naflu kshedichu abasar. Whatever worms you find on mutter. So we have here heter number three. We had worms that are created, so to speak, in a sitting water on mutter until they're perish. Worms that are created in produce that's detached from the ground are mutter, unless they're perish, unless they crawl on the ground. If they become visible to the eye in the produce, then it's mutter. And now we have another heter. Worms that become visible, that sort of hatch and become visible in meat, whether it's fish or meat, after shchita is mutter. When it's alive, it's also separate is. But
what
is
the
problem?
It's only after
shchita. What shchita means, if you have worms that you know are in the animal when the animal's alive, you shecht it, you look in the meat, and it's there already, right? Yeah, 5 minutes after Shechita, you take a look and you see they are fully grown worms.
It was, again,
if you believe in spontaneous generation and you hold that the meat turned into worms, then that's Eved Menachayim. It's meat, living meat that turned into worms. So Shechita is only matir, the meat itself. Something that's independent Chayim, it's not matir. Whereas it's only independent life, Shechita doesn't kill it. And therefore, it remains Eva Menachai. Now, this Eva Menachai topic is a little complicated. I do have to tell you, the Eva Menachai explanation is found in numerous Achrayim. The Chazainish says, don't use the term Eva Menachai. It doesn't mean Eva Menachai. It means Kol HaYotze Min HaTamei Tamei. Something created from a treif animal is treif. And we're going to see there's a discussion about this topic. So I'm going to come back to it. But for right now, we use the Lashon of most Paiskim. They call it Eved Menachai. The bottom line is very clear in Shulchan Aruch. It brings at the end the Yesh Mishayis or Rambam. But the Rav Paiskim, which all the Achrayim follow, is that if you have Toilois, in meat, in the stomach, meat or fish, always saucer, because it ingested it. That's of course saucer. In the flesh, by an animal, we have this new issa called Eved Menachai or Yotze Min HaTamei Tamei, whatever you want to call it. It's not Hutter B'Shechita. But in fish, which don't eat Shechita, whatever, there's no Eved Menachai on fish. There's no issa Eved Menachai. So, Memela, there's no eating a live goldfish is not an issa Dereis. It says out the fact that it's Mius, it's also, but not out Machos Hasuras. But, Baltashaksim. But not else the thing itself, and therefore it's heter, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch says unequivocally, you find worms in the fish, don't worry, it's mutter, it doesn't have the din of teiloyim. If it's found in the fish, it's sort of spawned in the fish, which we're going to discuss, in the flesh, and it's sort of created in the flesh, which is not also, it's never sheretz alo amayim. And I'll say Evimenachai, Yotze Min HaTamei Tamei, so it doesn't apply, not Evimenachai, because there's no Evimenachai by fish, and no Yotze Min HaTamei Tamei, because we're talking about kosher fish, it's Yotze Min HaTamei, you're not going to eat treif for fish anyway. What? Right, but a living animal is Yotze Min HaTamei Tamei. The din of Yotze Min HaTamei Tamei applies to a living animal. Right, the Gemara says it about the afterbirth of a living animal. The Gemara in Bechayra says a sugya of Hayetze Bera Tamei Tamei, that a living animal that gives out that is Yetze Bera Tamei is awesome. The Gemara talks about the Meirag Laim of a living animal. So that's a right. A Ben Pekua, a live fetus, is only Mutat Kzeres HaKasuv. They bring this as a raya because the Prima Gadim here says that. You look in the bottom, the Prima Gadim, you have it on your next page. Oh, no, you don't have Chaf Aleph. That's a page later. The Prima Gadol talks about worms in a Bev Pekua. In other words, you see, we're getting off topic. We're going to confuse the whole topic. But what you're saying, the Prima Gadol says, if you find worms in the flesh of an animal that's a Bev Pekua, then the worm should be mutter. Because since Bev Pekua itself is an exception to Yetzer HaTavei Tavei, or even Achai, it's mutter even when it's alive. So the worms on it should be mutter. That's what Prima Gadol says. Okay, Mamish was just saying the Ben Pekua itself is mutter only out because Eres HaKosov, not out Svara.
Is he eating these worms when the worms are alive, or is he killing the worms?
Either way. So, okay, let's try to go. I want to go Beseder. The halacha is halacha psuka. It's very, very clear. Now, the Anasakis tumul that took place was the following tumul. The importance of the handout I gave you is going to come up when we talk about Rebelsky's Heter, which has to do with this. But first, I just want to talk to you about the Anasakis. The Anasakis is a worm that's found in the stomach of many fish, including a lot of the popular fish that from people like to eat, including salmon and cod and many of the other things. The whitefish, it's common. It's found in the stomach. So we'll talk about that. Give me a second. In the stomach, like I said, when the stomach is full, you'll always find it in the stomach. And when the animal excretes, the fisherman happened to catch the fish, just as the fish was saying, Ashayatzar, then the stomach will be empty. And that's just the way it is. Today, all birds, before they shecht in a poultry market, or in a base of shechita, all birds before shechita are not fed, I think it's for 36 hours, by law. They starve the birds. Why? Because they want, when they shecht the birds, that the stomach should be empty, that they shouldn't be excrement in the shechita house. It's amazing. They pull out the stomach of the birds, and the stomachs are always empty. There's no psilus there, and just the way it is. You know, I think I mentioned to you, I once got a call from a lady who says about the kaparis, the shlugin kaparis, it's terrible. They don't feed the animals. They only give it water. They don't give the birds. They stand there. They're there a whole day. They don't feed anything. It's terrible. So I said to me, lady, that's the law. You're not allowed to slaughter birds unless you don't feed them for I think it's 36 hours. She said, oh, okay. I said, what do you mean okay? You're angry at the sheikhtim? Why don't you call your government official? You know, you're all angry that they mistreat the birds. So because the government says it's okay, why don't you call them? I don't understand. But that's the fact is that's what they do. And that's why the base of shechita, it's amazing. You know, they pull out the inside, it's all clean and pristine. And, you know, it's like wrapped in saran wrap. You remember from the base of shechita, it's all very clean. Now, this is this is what's in the stomach. There's no issue. The tumul came up because it was found pretty clearly that the worms in the meat, in the flesh of the fish, also are Anasakis worms. In other words, today you take out the worm and you put it under a microscope, you take a good look at it and you can see what it is. There are certain very defining characteristics of an Anasakis worm, and clearly in the flesh there are these worms. And therefore, part of the tumul is the fact that these worms, which are osur in the meyayim, according to the Isrim, are worms that crawl from the meyayim with their osur and bore their way into the flesh. They migrate, and since they migrate, they're osur. Once they're osur, they can become mutter because they're in the basar. Either Gemara is matir. So I don't know. Either Gemara is talking about other worms, on the Shtana Ateva, or whatever, however you want to deal with. Anytime you have a contradiction between the scientific metzius and what goes on, this is the bottom line. Now I do want to point out to you the issue of eating raw fish. People get sick from raw fish. Is the same thing. People eat fish, raw fish. It's not spoiled. Why do people get sick from raw fish? because of these Anisakis worms that are found in the raw fish sometimes, and they crawl their way from a human stomach into the human being as well. In other words, they can bore, I don't know exactly how they bore holes exactly, not they have teeth or what, but they find a way into the stomach of people. The handout I have is entitled Anisakiasis. Anisakiasis is a disease, it's a stomach disease that comes from eating raw fish, where the Anisakis makes its way into the human being. Now,
On the flesh,
that's the Oystrom Taina that it comes from the inside.
No, but where is it found?
It's found in the flesh. Nobody eats the stomach. In the flesh itself, embedded in the fish.
All right,
so we can be done where it came from, which is the discussion. And what I tell you, the Metzius is that these worms are found in fish, and they're eaten. That's why it was always thought that eating raw fish is going to make you sick unless you cook it. What they discovered is that if you freeze them, it also kills the fish, kills the worm. Now, once the worm is dead, from a health standpoint, you can eat it because it's not going to make its way into the rest of your body. It's going to stay in the stomach and it'll get digested or not get digested and go out. If it's not alive, it's not going to bore holes into a person's body. So for sushi, they generally freeze the fish beforehand to kill. That's the law, and they freeze the fish, and mamela, it kills these worms, and you don't have to cook it. You can eat raw fish because it doesn't harm anybody. I just want to tell you. I'm sorry to interrupt, but the how is that a set? This is taken from the CDC's website, or the FDA, I don't remember which one. It's taken from their website. And how is it treated? What are ways of dealing with it? So it says three ways. Abstain from eating raw fish, one way. Adequately cook or freeze the fish before consumption. Number three, cough up the worm if a tingling sensation occurs in the mouth or throat soon after consuming raw fish. You hear this, Eitzah? Nowadays, probably there are four. Put on a mask and you'll be a mask over your face and nose.
Well, what is this?
I want to talk about it. It's like them, it's a derais, and I'll explain. It's either derais or it's mutter. I'll explain.
Let me explain.
I'm just explaining the mitzias. Halacha, give me a chance. I'm going to explain the mitzias of the Anisakis is a worm that makes its way in. Now, the halacha aspect depends on a few distinct pratim. I have to tell you an experience I had. I wish I would have recorded it. There was a meeting down here of ACCO. ACCO is the Association of Kashrus Organizations. And very often they have meetings here because they fly in from other cities. It's right off the belt. It's relatively local. I suppose that the cookies and coffee are also an attraction for this location. But they had the meeting over the strawberry worms was here, and the raisin worms was here, and the fish worms. They brought in a Rav from Eretz Yisrael, an expert in it. Now, God definitely has a sense of humor. His name is Rabbi Karp. I kid you not, he's the expert. He's a big Talmud Chacham. And you can't make this stuff up. Only God could do it. If you wrote a book called Rabbi Karp, well, you joke. His name is Rabbi Karp. And he came here to speak, and all the kashrus organizations were represented. And there was somebody from all in it. Rebelsky, Zichrono Livracha, was here, and many were here. Now, Rabbi Karp had a certain, if I can say so, Eretz Yisrael Dika mentality. He didn't come here to talk about anything. He came here to teach everybody. In other words, Eretz Yisrael is the sense, Eretz Yisrael did a Talmidei Chachamim, and Chutz La'aretz Adam Aratzim. So he really was not prepared to answer any questions. He came to teach everybody and go home, and everyone's going to trust him. So he could have just written us. I'll tell you the way it started, and the whole thing came apart. The whole meeting disintegrated. I'll tell you what happened. He started speaking. Now, I told you when we started that Chazal talk about what definitely seems like spontaneous generation. Spontaneous generation means that worms are created from either dirt which is not a chai, or from Chazal called Zeya Sachai, somehow from the Zeya of living creatures, that worms are created spontaneously from decay or from zeyasachai. I don't know what that means exactly, but they're created spontaneously. Now, since these creatures, whatever they are, are not kruruvu, they don't come from a mother worm. So there are a number of halachas. You're allowed to kill them on Shabbos. You're allowed to kill certain types of lice on Shabbos because there's no risk of killing a chai. It's not a real chai if it's spontaneously generated. And it's not also al telas until it's sheres al oret. There's no din that it's the child of an iser, the yetzibar tamei. So these are the halachas. Now we everyone in Chutzlaris, as far as all, I shouldn't speak for the Chassidish circles, I don't know, but we have a Kabbalah to explain spontaneous generation. Today, it's pretty much not even debated in any certainly not in scientific circles, that spontaneous generation doesn't take place. When meat decays in a sterile place, in a place where worms can't come, meat doesn't turn into worms. It just doesn't happen. And it's pretty clear that every worm that's alive came from a Zayda or a Baba that was around by Adam HaRishon. Hashem created life in the Yimei Bereishis, and there's no life in the world today except that's a descendant from the life of the Shesh Yimei Bereishis. Nothing is alive. Nothing. They can't create it in the lab. They can't. There's no such thing. There is no such thing as life, which is not a descendant of life from Sheshes Yimei Bereishis. Now, Chazal talking about spontaneous generation. So the Havana of the Paiskim today, it's spelled out in the Michtam Elio, among other places, is that an egg of a worm, which is too small to be seen, is mutter. Some has not nira leinayim, it says in the Chachmas Adam. Some has not nira leinayim, is mutter lechatchila. You're allowed to eat things that are not visible. The Torah only asks for things that are visible. Memela, when they're not visible, they're not awesome. In the eyes of halacha, they come into existence when they grow into a visible size. So what Chazal talk about a spontaneous generation, we understand to mean that it doesn't get its life from the mother louse or the mother worm, because even though its life does come from it, but that's when it's a tiny worm and when it's a tiny egg, and it doesn't become us until it's visible. Now that's pretty much mekubal across the board among the paiskim that we rely on. Once he said Reuven Feinstein about it, he right away he told me this explanation. So I said, "Do you hear it from Ramesha?" So he shrugged. He said, "We always assume this is true. It's not like a chiddush that Ramesha would have told me. Whenever we spoke about worms, this was our assumption that that's what Chazal are referring to, and that's our understanding." Now, Rav Karp comes from a circle where they understand spontaneous generation kapashte, apparently. They understand that Chazal, any worm that comes from a mommy worm is aser, and the only worms Chazal were matir are worms that the flesh turns into a worm. So he got up to speak. He was speaking on that side of this table, and everybody was here. And his first presentation was, well, Chazal only matir spontaneously generated worms. Then a sakis definitely comes from an egg. Everyone agrees it comes from a mother and a sakis, and it's aser. And that's pretty much what he said. Rabowski didn't understand what he was saying. He said, "What do you mean? What do you mean? It's still a Dover Rabot." And they got into a shouting match. And the whole thing fell apart. It didn't go any further than that. Wow. They got an argument. He brought a Rambam, and he said, "Why does it have to do with this Rambam?" Rabowski did not understand what Rabbi Karp was saying, I'm telling you. He had no Havamina that that's what he was saying. So at some point, I tried to get up, at least as the host, and tell everybody what they were arguing about, but it didn't work. The whole thing came apart over it, and the meeting, the mamish, didn't go any further than that. It broke into groups of people arguing, and it ended with that. Rabbi Karp got disgusted. He didn't come to talk. He didn't come to discuss things. He came to give a drasha. And he wasn't really mentally prepared. I'm not faulting him. He's a tremendous talmud chacham. He wasn't prepared to have a discussion. He came in to give a speech and leave. And the whole thing fell apart. Lamaisa, when the dust cleared, everybody started writing on the topic. So it became a little more clear what the points of disagreement are. Now, as we're going to go with what's Mekubal Etzleinu, that it doesn't matter if it comes from a mommy, daddy, anisakis or not. It's mutter if the egg is not visible, which everyone seems to agree when the egg is first produced, it's not a visible egg. And the question is, at what point it becomes aser when it becomes visible? Now, I want to tell you, before that meeting down here, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, he called me that afternoon. He said, I know there's a meeting by you in the shul. I want you to announce in my name that I don't say it's mutter, I don't say it's aser. But I do say, whatever they say, B'Shem Rabbi Yashiv is not reliable. That's what he said. Tell everyone, whatever they say, B'Shem Rabbi Yashiv is not reliable. And Kachim Advarim, Yashiv in his later years, for whatever reason, was unfortunately not so clear in his Piskei Halacha. When they had the tumult over the about how to write Nachs based on the what they smuggled out of Syria, the Aleppo Codex. And they had, so there were two countries in beautiful countries, Shtikl Torah, about relying on the how to spell different things, how to do Parshas Tumos. Both countries in had in the Sharblat Askama from Rabbi Yashiv that he agrees with each side. One was called Mesayre Seinu, that said not to change it based on the Codex. And the other one was called Pekuda Seinu, our command. Like, oh, both had a Haskaba from him. And I once asked why it was that way. So Rabbi Yashiv didn't have so much gedult. The person told me, gave me an example. Rabbi Yashiv was leaving shul, and somebody came to him with a bunch of questions. Someone asked him, are you allowed to read the lettering on a matzeva? He said, oh, sir. Oh, sir. And he walked away. So this person told me, I think it was Rabbi, his Talmud, Rav. Anyway, he told me, he was standing there, he knew this fellow was going to print, you're not allowed to do it. So he said to Rabbi Yashiv, you mean Isis Baltis, right? He said, of course I mean Isis Baltis, it's a Gemara. Like, he didn't answer a person. You know, Gemara says, if you have a matzeva and the letters are protruding, it's kashal shich and hurry and stuff, you gimel. It's kashal shicha. That's why all from matzevus I made ICIs kakuk guys in grain. So Gemara says I see Baltus. So first you're allowed to read it. He said no. He's asking him. The Gemara says kashal shicha. Does that mean it's us? He said it's us. So he said you mean ICIs Baltus, right? Of course that's what I mean. What else do I mean? But he only told the person it's us. The person could have printed, or you know that he asked it. So this is meant by him as a typical example. So whatever they put Shem Rabbi Yashiv aside, the Gedolei Yisrael seem to answer this, and Gedolei America seem to be mad here, and the following is the tumult over it. I'll try to present both sides as best as I can. The main sad heter has to do with the question, if at one point does it become us? And this is where the cycle that you have here is significant. The bottom is the life cycle of the anisakis. So if you start from one, marine mammals excrete unembryonated eggs. In other words, eggs that are not yet embryos. It comes out of the tsaya of dolphins and large mammals in the water. Now at that point, they're certainly not visible. Two, eggs become embryonated in water, and two, larvae form in the eggs. It becomes slightly larger. After the L2 larvae hatch from eggs, they become free-swimming. So here you have a worm for the first time. Free-swimming larvae are ingested by crustaceans. They mature. Now, here's the important point. They get eaten for supper three times. They get eaten for supper three times before they come to your table. In other words, first they're ingested by crustaceans and they mature into level 3 larvae. Then the crustaceans are eaten by fish and squid. upon the host death, larvae migrate to the muscle tissues, and through predation, the larvae are transferred from fish to fish. Then the fish and squid maintain the larvae that are infected to humans and marine mammals. Fish or squid, the number six, they're ingested by marine mammals. The larvae molt twice and develop into adult worms, and they go out. So these are actually marine mammals, which are whales and dolphins. And dolphins are not really mammals, but they're included in that category. And so what? Dolphins are mammals. Okay, so mammals and now actually, when they come to your table, they're eaten twice, not three times, because we get it after they're ingested by crustaceans, then they're eaten by the fish, by the salmon. So the taina, one of Rebelsky's tainas, was why are you judging it the nirulainayim when they're eaten by the salmon? They're originally eaten by the crustaceans. Crustaceans are very tiny creatures. The bugs in the water are crustaceans. They're crustaceans are shelled insects. Okay. So Rebelsky's taina, which seems to be a very strong taina, is that you're tining that when the salmon eats it, it's already near Olainayim, so it's considered a worm before it eats it. But his taina is it was never Sheretz Alamayim, because it stopped being Sheretz Alamayim when the crustaceans ate it. When the crustaceans ate it, it wasn't big enough to be near Olainayim. The whole crustacean is barely near Olainayim. And then it gets eaten by the fish, so it should be it should be mutter because it was never Sheretz Alamayim. The last time it swam in the water was by 2B. 2B was still too tiny to be seen. And then, when 3 eats it, and it goes from 3 to 4, there should be no change in its status. Now, they answer with two tainas. One taina is, the Gemara has an ibaya by fruit. We said worms that are created in fruit are amutter. Pirish mitzvara letzvara mahu. The Gemara is a shaila. If you have two fruits next to each other. Now remember, the worm has to be yasser to be sheretz al aretz in the case of fruit. So Gemara says, pirish may tmara la tmara mahu. If you went from one fruit to the other, what's the din? It's ibay de leivshita. And we're mach. So they're tining that just like pirish from one fruit to another, we yasser, pirish from one fish to another should be the same. Now, it doesn't seem to be as taina. Rebelsky responded. This is not pirish from one fish to another. It didn't crawl out of one fish into another. That one fish ate the other fish. It was beleiah. It was nivla b'sayichai. It wasn't pirish from one to the other. And therefore, it would seem to be a solid basis to be matir, the fact that it's not nirulainai. If it never happens, it's hard to say that it never happens. But you have to realize one thing. We have a Gemara. Gemara says it's mutter. We try to be matzdik, what Chazal say, unless we say, you have to say nishtara ateva. Now, we have a mahalacha, which to understand the heter. So why debate other things? And then it's very hard to know. So that's the second time. The second taina that was made against this heter is this. We said worms that are created in an animal are rasa because they're yotze min hatame tame or they're eva min hachai. The taina is, if they become visible in the crustaceans themselves are treif, it should be a yotze min hatame tame, meaning if the worms become visible in the crustaceans, so it should be like the worms that become visible in animal flesh, which is yaitzem and atame tame, which should be aser outstat. That's a shtar kataina. The pushback on that is that there's a chavis das, sivin pei aleph, sivkot nalef, that says the rule of a yaitzem and atame tame does not apply to fish. Whatever the lumdis is. But the beferish chavis das, he says that this rule, a yaitzem and atame tame, it does not apply to fish. It only applies to land animals or birds. It doesn't apply to fish. It's a little more complicated because Chavis Das is answering Tosfos Kasha. Tosfos doesn't agree with it, but Lamai said that's the Pesach of the Chavis Das. Chavis Das is cut and bays the Empey Aleph Ir de Tziruf. It's a list of fish, mostly the fish that we eat. Now, I want to tell you, I'll go step by step. So basically, the Biur had, the Iker Lahalacha in the Lumdis is this Shaila. Rebelski's heter that is not Nero Lainayim when it's swallowed the first time, and that heter it should stand. It's considered this. It was never Sheretz Alamayim. It never swam in the water. It was already swallowed when it became visible. And that heter seems to be a very solid heter. Now there are other tumuls. There are those who've written a lot about whether it's even true that they migrate from the stomach to the flesh. If the Metzias is Emes, so it's not Emes. And this person who I forget his name, who started the tumul by discovering it, he claims that scientists have tsulamim, said pictures of tunnels going from one to the other. It's not entirely true. There are no pictures of them migrating from the stomach to the flesh, because they first have to get out into the stomach cavity. They have to go from the stomach to the stomach cavity, and then from the stomach cavity to the flesh. It's a little more complicated than the way it's described. And also, if you find tunnels, nobody knows which direction the tunnel was. But it would seem logical, if there are such tunnels, I mean, you're talking about tiny tunnels, that it would come from the stomach and out. So there's a lot of tumult about whether the Metzias is Emes, it's not Emes, even if it's a Safik, or a Padva in England wrote a tshuva. Remember the Rajma Svek Sveka. Right? The Rajma said if you cook cabbage, you could eat it out Svek Sveka. Maybe there were worms, even if there were no worms, maybe it fell apart in the cooking. So he says, same Svek Sveka. Maybe these worms are awesome, not awesome. And in your particular piece of fish, it may or may not be there, it's not in all the fish. See, he wrote to be Matir out Svek Sveka. But Rabowski's heter, which seems to be a pretty solid heter, is not al tzvek sveika. It's it's a heter be'etzem, and it would seem to be a more solid heter than any of the other heterim that came up regarding this. So again, Rabowski's heter is all agree that when it's not visible to the eye, I say all agree. I have to qualify that in a minute. But all agree when it's not visible to the eye, it's mutter. Fair Shabina Sadam, and nobody disagrees. Things are visible to the eye are mutter. So these crustaceans are not visible to the eye. These larvae are not visible to the eye when the first crustacean swallows it. And then the fact that they are visible already, they're in stage 3 when they're eaten by the salmon, they're irrelevant because it was never Sheretz Alamayim. It was in the other creature and it was swallowed directly by this creature, so therefore
in the Me'ayim it's
going to be mutter. So one of the tithes is according to this it should be mutter in Me'ayim too, and they say no, Chidami says the other word, the other creatures in the Me'ayim,
yeah,
in
the other words
says, so the Shulnar doesn't say and a sakis, it says worms you find. So Rebel says either they themselves could eat the anisakis directly, or it refers to other worms. Why say, like the ice rim, that the flesh refers to other worms? Say the stomach refers. There are many different types of worms found in the stomach. That's Rebel says.
Don't give Hesha on the wild sand because of this reason, right?
Yeah. Since they are ice rim, they don't give a Hesha. There's a difference between wild salmon and farm salmon. This is one of the proofs that this comes from other animals. It's not generated, so to speak, by the fish. Because animals, fish that are out in the wild, wild salmon, has it. And farm salmon, which means the salmon are grown in ponds, it's controlled exactly what they eat. And they don't have these crustaceans for dinner. They have, well, I don't know what they eat for dinner, but they're not exposed to it. And those don't have it. The fresh don't. Now, I don't know why. The canned salmon, I think, is that right? It's all wild salmon. I think so, it says on it. And the canned and the marketed salmon, for some reason, tend to be, I don't know, always, but tend to be the farm salmon. So I don't know the reason for that, but whatever the reason may be, there seems to be a fillet between the two. Now,
not just sure they'll eat
the
farm salmon? I think
the ice rib only mounted a farm salmon, right. So the main nafkamina is the canned salmon, which would be an issue according to the ice rim, and again, mutter according to the matimah. Now,
the ice
rim, that's what they ask. In America, many asherim feel that people rely on them because they're a hafshar to call ashitas. There's such a sense. So certain asherim feel that if they are yesh asim, yesh matirim, then I'm not going into the pratim of it. The consumers who look for my hechsher are looking for hechsher that's yet to call shittas, and therefore they refrain from
it.
Right. So they ask absolutely. Yeah. They hold the worm is usher, and that's why they ask her, period. No, they agree with all it is, but I'll tell you, with the invisible, it's like another whole shear. In Eretz Yisrael, where they hold of spontaneous generation, so when the Chacham Sadam says invisible is mutter, so there's a Rav Halberstam in Eretz Yisrael that was involved. He's not alive anymore, but Rabbi Yosef David Halberstam was very involved in this, in Hefsherim. See, he wrote the Kuntres Ani Telas, and he writes, unlike the way we understand, he writes that when it's not visible, it's mutter, because Leinin Torah L'Malchei Hasharis. It really should be Aser. Leinin Torah L'Malchei Hasharis, not visible, what are you supposed to do? But if it's invisible, and it becomes visible, so now there's no heter because it came from something invisible. Really, invisible should, or microscopic should also be aser. It's just like namashiaris. So once it gets bigger, it's always aser. It's not that it was a sug of heter when it was microscopic. It's just that like namashi asharis, but it was always aser. And mainly he holds if it grows from a microscopic thing that. While it's microscopic, it's mutter because like namashi asharis. Yeah. Then it was always sausage. Yeah. That's what he writes in the Kuntres. I can't say everyone in Eretz Yisrael necessarily agrees with. Okay, the vinegar eels, it says in Chachma Sadam, if you hold it up to the sun, it's visible, then it's always sausage. In other words, if you can't see it by holding it to the sun, you could see it. That's called visible. Chachma Sadam himself says that. It's not a heter that you just can't see it. It has to be not visible, even if you try. Now, there's a second tumul, which I think encompasses a lot of the arguments about worms. And that is what's called Nirolainayim. What creature is called Nirolainayim? There is a mahalach, especially among those that are more machmir, to give it a size. They give it a size of 200 microns. 200 microns is a fifth of a millimeter. 1,000 microns is a millimeter, so I guess 200 is 0.2 of a millimeter. It's a fifth of a millimeter. They give a size. A fifth of a millimeter, you could see it. Less than that, you can't. Rabowski's kinda is that you don't give sizes to things. Gissinger also said, why are you giving sizes? Chazal could have given a size. You say it's tiny. They give a shear of chatzi sa'ira, half a barleycorn for the shear pruta. They could have given a size. It depends. It depends where it is and how it is. In water, you can't see things that are a fifth of a millimeter. It's not considered visible. So that part of the disagreement, now the second level of disagreement in all this, I think in Rabelski Shevet Alevi, it's a footnote, that who says Nirolei Naim is given to Shiurim? Nirolei Naim is dependent on the circumstances too. And Mimela, some that's Nimsa B'mayim has to be visible in Mayim. And Mimela, it's sort of an additional disagreement between the Tzadim. But again, I think the main heter is that which I told you initially. The fact that it's swallowed by the first creature, it's not halachically visible. And Mimela, it's never Sheretz Alamayim. That's the main heter. What you do, the yesh ha'isim, the yesh matirin. Okay, this is the shakla b'tari. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't need fish unless it's farmed. The farm fish, the farm. I believe so. It could be there's some amount there. I don't know. You know, the ones who are matir in Eretz Yisrael are quiet. The ones who ask are, in Ar Yisrael, there's a kuntres Ar Yisrael, which is excellent. Whenever there's a tumult, Ar Yisrael is a kuntres based in Muncie. And I think it was Nun Hei, where they published the tshuvas from both Sadadim, 55, Nun Hei. And they published both Sadadim, and I think it's a very interesting Shaka Vitaria. Here you have a Beferisha Gemara. Beferisha Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter. And usually a Beferisha Gemara in Eretz Yisrael, they're the ones that say you can't change it because of Mitzvahs. And the Chutzlaris, they say, well, things change. Well, now it's the reverse. You know, the Chutzlaris, the Matirim are saying, we have a Kabbalah from Chazal, so we have to try to, whatever we could, to say it's justified and explain it. And there it's Yisrael, they say, Nishtar HaTeva, that things changed. Okay, Al-Kaponim, this is it. They do have a quote from Rav Moshe, that he was asked about these worms before the current tumult. And Rav Moshe said, these worms in the flesh are not a problem. And they asked him to write a tshuva, and he said, why am I going to write a tshuva on something the Gemara says is mutter? That's what he said. So everyone seems to agree that conversation took place, but what they're tying is that this Matthias was this baron later, and maybe he would have changed his psak. Okay, I'll go on. Next week, I hope to do a summary of all the Dinei Tolaim.